A thought is just a sentence in your mind. It's words strung together. And every single thought that you think is 100% optional. Our thoughts are 100% optional. We think they're the truth because we've thought them so many times before. You can learn to manage your mind to get more of what you want from life and less of what you don't. Welcome to Is This All There Is?, the podcast for high-achieving women who have checked all the boxes of success and are left feeling overwhelmed, unfulfilled, and stuck. I'm your host, Dr. Amanda Ryan Fear, and in each episode, we'll use principles of cognitive psychology, feminist theory, and expert mindset coaching to help you build the confidence and clarity you need to accomplish whatever it is you want, even if you don't yet know what that is. Hey everybody, how's it going? Welcome to Is This All There Is? Episode 32. I hope that you're doing well. I am fighting a little cold this week. It's not awful. I just feel kind of run down and congested, and there's a little more gravel to my voice than usual. And it's not surprising. I've been going 100 miles an hour for the past couple of weeks. I got to go on the Another Mother Runner a Redmond retreat in Redmond, Oregon, a couple of weekends ago, and it was amazing. Hi to all of my Bammer friends out there. Another Mother Runner is such a cool organization. It was founded by a friend of mine that I used to do crew with and a friend of hers. And it basically is almost an entirely online community. They have a Facebook page. They have a website. They do training programs for running. They have a newsletter with all sorts of good advice about life and parenting and moving your body. And what I love about this group is how inclusive they are. I've been a part of running groups in the past where you show up and they say that they're super inclusive and they're like, oh, but we all run 6-minute miles. And what I will tell you is I'm not actually running right now. I'm doing a lot of walking post-cardiac rehab. But when I did run, I ran like a 12 to 15 minute mile. And that was race pace. So needless to say, I did not even try to keep up with the 6-minute milers. But Another Mother Runner is so awesome because they have different things. They have different training programs. They have different communities. They have different groups for walkers, for runners that are more towards like the 15-minute mile mark, towards really Olympic athletes. So they truly are welcoming of everybody. And you don't actually have to be a mother to be part of their programs. And you don't even have to be a runner, as I am a case in point. I'm evidence of that. So anyway, I'm still riding the high from the retreat and loving all of the new friends that I've made and people that I've met. I got to teach a series of workshops on overcoming overwhelm at the retreat, so it was all super fun. But then after that, I came home and basically have been doing all of the things, and it's not really surprising that my body's like, okay, it's time to rest. And as you know from previous episodes, I am a champion rester. I am super good at resting, but I also really love to do a lot of fun things, so it can be hard for me to balance those two things. Rest and doing all the things. So anyway, on today's podcast, I wanted to dial it back a little bit and talk about kind of the foundation of my coaching work and coaching practice. And that is helping you recognize the limiting beliefs that are holding you back and helping you to see how your thoughts really are the genesis of everything in your life. Like, if you think about it, if you look around wherever you are right now, whether you're in the car, you're on a walk, you are in your office, you're wherever it is that you are, if you look around, basically everything that you see started with an idea. So it started with a thought. And our thoughts are responsible for all of the results that we get in our lives. So our thoughts are super powerful, and catch is that most of us aren't even aware of what we're thinking at any given time. So about 80% of the thoughts that we think on any given day are the same thoughts that we thought the day before, the same thoughts that we thought the day before that, the same thoughts that we thought the day before that. And we become almost immune to our thoughts. We don't even recognize that we are thinking them. But our thoughts are super powerful because our thoughts create our emotions. So I want you to think about any situation that's happened to you where you felt angry. So I'll give you a hypothetical. Let's imagine that your partner said, "I need you to do more around the house." I can imagine that my partner saying that to me there would be some feelings of anger. So that's the circumstance. Your partner says the words, "I need you to do more around the house." Circumstances are inherently neutral. Circumstances are objective. Circumstances don't have words in them, like my partner snarkily said, right? So a circumstance, the test to know if something is truly a circumstance, if it's truly a fact, is you could show a room full of people what happened. You could show them a transcript of what your partner said. You could show them a video of what your partner said. And they would all agree, yes, those are the words that your partner said. Now, if you said, "My partner snarkily said, I need you to do more around the house," if you showed that to a room full of people, some of them would agree, yeah, that was pretty snarky. The rest of them would be like, "I didn't get snark from that." And the rest of them would have a totally different opinion. So the reason that it's important for your circumstance to be based in facts is because circumstances in and of themselves don't cause feelings. They're neutral. We know that because a circumstance could happen to me and I could have one reaction to it, and the same circumstance could happen to you and you could have a totally different reaction to it, right? Like if I showed you the numbers in my bank account, if I showed a room full of people the numbers in my bank account, some of them would be like, "Wow, that's a lot of money." And others of them would be like, "How do you survive on so little?" And still others of them would have different opinions, right? So it's the same circumstance, it's the same numbers in the bank account, but everyone has a different reaction to it and therefore a different emotion. So circumstances happen, right? Usually they're out of our control. And then we tell ourselves a story about the circumstances. We start thinking thoughts about the circumstances. And that's when we start feeling emotions. So my partner said, "I need you to do more around the house." I notice a feeling of anger in my body. It's not because of what my partner said. It's because of the thought that I thought when he said it. It's because of what I made it mean. So in my hypothetical scenario here, thankfully my partner has never said that to me, although I know he thinks it all the time. Again, my hypothetical scenario, my partner says, "I need you to do more around the house." I start feeling angry because I'm telling myself, "I already do so much around the house. You don't do anything around the house. Who do you think you are to tell me what to do?" Right? So I'm telling myself this whole story about how much work I do, how much work he doesn't do, who is he to tell me that, right? You don't get to tell me what to do. It's bringing up all of these thoughts that are creating the anger. So it's not the circumstances themselves that create our emotions. It's the story we tell ourselves about the circumstance. And those stories are made entirely of thoughts. So here's what I want you to know is a thought is just a sentence in your mind. It's words strung together. And our thoughts are 100% optional. We think they're the truth because we've thought them so many times before. Like I said, we think the same thoughts every single day. And these thoughts often come from our subconscious brain, and they're often based on the messages we heard growing up as kids. So our thoughts basically come from the families who raised us. They come from society. They come from our culture. And then they get stored in our brains by the time we're 7 years old. So when you were a kid and you were going about your business, trying to make sense of the world, you were forming these beliefs based on what you heard, what you saw, and how you interpreted those things. This is why so many of us, because kids tend to make things about themselves, that's just the way that their brains work. That's why so many of us have these beliefs that we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, there's not enough money, we have to work hard, Women can do certain things, right? Men can do other things. So we form these beliefs by the time that we're 7 years old, and then we just trot them out every day and think them again and again so they feel like they're the truth. So when your partner says, I need you to do more around the house, that brings up a lot of junk in your subconscious brain about women do all the work in the house already. Who are you to tell me what to do? You need to do more, right? And it feels like the truth because we've thought it so many times. So then we have this feeling of anger in our bodies, and we think it's because of what our partner said, but again, it's not. It's because of the story we tell ourselves about what our partner said. It's about what we made it mean. And humans are emotionally driven animals. So what I mean by that is all of the actions that we take or the actions that we don't take are because of the emotions that we feel. So your brain has three primary motivations. The first is to seek pleasure, because pleasurable things usually mean survival. To avoid pain, because painful things usually mean not survival. And then to conserve energy, because you can't be figuring out, like, do I like this kind of food? How do I use this toothbrush? How is it that I get to work every day? You can't be figuring that out again and again and again every single day, because you need to conserve your resources to manage danger that could kill you. I'm talking about the primitive brain here. So your brain thinks that positive emotions, pleasant emotions are good because they usually mean more life. And your brain thinks that unpleasant emotions, negative emotions, are bad. So your brain will actually want you to do things to avoid feeling negative emotions. So this is why we buffer with food, with alcohol, with shopping, with work, because we don't want to feel an unpleasant emotion. And so we'll take a whole bunch of actions to avoid feeling an unpleasant emotion. Same thing with positive emotions. We want to feel positive emotions or pleasant emotions. And so we'll do more things to feel pleasant emotions. This is why we procrastinate. So for example, let's imagine you're really stressed out about writing a memo for work. And so every time you think about writing that memo or having to write that memo, it feels unpleasant in your body because of the thoughts you're having about it. Your brain doesn't want to feel the unpleasant emotions, and so it will want to redirect you to something that feels good. So you'll go eat a bag of M&Ms, right? So your brain doesn't want to feel the unpleasant emotion. It doesn't want to deal with emotional pain. It wants to steer you toward pleasure. And because our thoughts create our emotions and our emotions drive our actions, our thoughts are super important, right? Because what do we get from either the actions that we take or that we don't take? We get our results, right? So with the example of your partner saying, I need you to do more around the house, you think a thought, you need to do more around the house, right? About your partner, you feel anger. Because anger is an unpleasant emotion, your brain doesn't want to feel that. And so you'll probably start to stomp around the house to let go of that emotion. You will probably say something snarky to your partner. You will probably like storm up to your office. You might leave the house. You might go do something else, anything to in theory, get away from that unpleasant emotion, to not have to feel it. And so from all of those actions, your result is nobody does anything around the house. Nobody cleans, nobody does the dishes. So because of your thought, you need to do more around the house, nobody does anything around the house. So our thoughts are super powerful. And the good news is, because you can't change your circumstances, you often can't control what other people say, what other people do. I know you want to, but you can't do that. But you can control how you think about it. And I don't mean just switching to a more pleasant thought, because that often will backfire. This is why a lot of positive thinking mantras don't work. Because if you have been telling yourself If you have body image issues, for example, and you've been telling yourself that your body is ugly for decades, you can't just flip the switch and start saying, I love my beautiful body, right? Because your brain is going to call BS on that, and that's not going to get you anywhere. The solution is to come up with a neutral thought or a more believable thought to practice. So if the thought you've been thinking for decades is, I hate my body, my body is ugly, that's actually two thoughts, but we'll go with my body is ugly, then instead of trying to think my body is beautiful, because again, that will backfire, think I'm open to seeing the beauty in my body, right? That's more of a neutral thought. You're not committing to seeing the beauty in your body. You are open to seeing it. I would like to see the beauty in my body. Or you might get away from beauty entirely and you might think, there are things that I appreciate about my body. That might feel more true. So instead of flipping the switch from a thought that creates unpleasant emotion to a thought that creates more pleasant emotion, come up with a more neutral thought. So another risk with this work is once you start to see how your thoughts are creating your reality, we tend to have a tendency to beat ourselves up for the thoughts that we're having. Like if my thoughts create my reality and my reality sucks, then I need to do a better job with my thinking. Well, yes, but also with compassion because you've been thinking this way for decades, right? You've been thinking this way since you were a child. And so beating yourself up is not going to help. The next question I usually get is, actually, I want to go back to the beating yourself up part. So when you are noticing your thoughts, I want you to get curious about them. So when you start feeling angry or anxious or disappointed or some other way, it even could be a more pleasant emotion, ask yourself, what was I just thinking? And get really curious about what you were thinking. You can use a tool I like to use called a thought download, where you write the circumstance at the top of your paper, set a timer for like 5 minutes, and ask yourself, what do I think about this circumstance? And then write down all of the thoughts that come up. If you run out of thoughts, ask yourself, what else? What else do I think about this circumstance? And again, it's not to judge what you're thinking, it's to get curious. It's like you're sitting on a couch and you're watching a video of your thoughts, and you're just getting curious about what's going on in your brain. This is called the unmanaged mind. So all of the thoughts that we think by default, this is the unmanaged mind. So when we aren't aware of our thoughts, when we aren't working to change our thoughts, our mind just goes willy-nilly. It just runs the show. And we feel these emotions, we take these actions, or we don't take action, we get these results, and it all feels out of our control, right? But learning to manage your mind is one of the most critical skills, like one of the most critical life skills that nobody ever teaches. And it's a life changer, my friends. Learning to manage my mind made the difference between beating myself up all of the time, feeling anxious all the time, telling myself these stories about how I had to work harder, how I wasn't good enough, how I was failing at everything, how there was never enough time, never enough money, to living a life where I feel like I'm in the driver's seat. I run my own business. We bought a small farm. You know the story. Learning to manage my mind has also been critical through my heart incident back in November, because obviously that was super traumatic, but having these tools has helped take the edge off of the trauma for sure. So a managed mind is one where you're aware of how your brain is thinking, and you are aware of how those thoughts are creating your emotions, your actions, and your reality. And you are actively working to practice a new and different way of thinking. So how do you know if it's time to change a thought or change a story you're telling yourself or change the way you're thinking? Because you don't have to change every thought that you think, right? Like that would be exhausting. But the question that I ask is the way that you're thinking right now helping you to become the person that you want to become? So if you're telling yourself there's not enough time, there's not enough money, I'm failing at everything, Are those thoughts helping to propel you to become the person you want to be? Are they helping you to reach your goals? Do they feel good? I'm guessing not, right? If you're super critical of yourself, are those thoughts, is that self-criticism helping you to become the person that you want to become? Probably not, right? If you have negative thoughts about your body or your ability to do things, are those thoughts helping you? Probably not. So learning to A, identify those thoughts, because awareness is always the first step, and B, work with those thoughts to think in a different way to get different emotions, results, and actions. I said that in the wrong order. Emotions, actions, and results. Now I lost my train of thought, but that happens a lot. So here you go. Is that helping you get where you want to go? So learning to manage your mind puts you back in the driver's seat because, again, you can't control the circumstances of everything that happens around you. And that's actually fine because you can control the stories you tell yourself about it, about them, the circumstances, and the thoughts that you think and how you approach the world. So if you're interested in learning more about how your thoughts create your results and working with your brain to go from having an unmanaged brain that is running the show and getting you all of these results that you're like, I don't know if this is what I wanted. So if you'd like to go from having an unmanaged mind to learn how to manage your mind, that's exactly why I created the Mindset Gym, which is my 6-week program to train your brain, to work with your brain, to manage your thinking, your emotions, your actions, to get the results that you want from life. So if you're currently feeling overwhelmed or unfulfilled, like you'd like to make a different impact on the world, a bigger impact on the world, if you're feeling anxious or insecure, the Mindset Gym can help you learn to change all of that. It's my beginner program for learning how to train your brain, just like we train our bodies, to get more of what you want from life and less of what you don't. So if you find yourself saying no to things, just kidding, saying yes to things that you don't want to do, if you find yourself being overextended, if you have a hard time making decisions, if you're worried about money or worried about health or worried about not having enough time, all of these things can be managed by learning to work with your brain. It is a really powerful training, and it's 6 weeks of online video lessons plus 3 one-on-one coaching calls with me. Plus, you get a variety of bonuses about specific ways to work with your brain. So you'll learn all about building self-trust, which is the foundation of confidence. You will learn how to manage your mind around money so you stop operating from there's not enough and start seeing the potential of money. And you'll learn how to make decisions faster with a lot less brain drama. So if you're interested in the Mindset Gym, doors are open for you to enroll, and I will put a link in the show notes for you to get more information on that. All right, my friends, be on to your brain. Your brain is an unreliable narrator. Every single thought that you think is 100% optional. You can learn to manage your mind to get more of what you want from life and less of what you don't. I hope you have a great week, and I will talk to you later. If you found this podcast helpful, head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And go ahead and send it to a friend while you're at it. Thank you. My mission in life is to liberate women from the limiting beliefs that are holding them back from living their fullest, most joyful lives. If you'd like to learn more about my work, check out my website at www.amandaryanfear.com. That's AmandaryanFear.com.